Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Let's check in with Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joseph, I hear you've been experiencing Indian summer there. Is that why there have not been attacks from Russia on energy infrastructure? What do you think?
Well, Bob, good afternoon from Kyiv. Day 624 of Russia's full-scale war, and now it has been 48 days without a major coordinated nationwide Russian attack on Ukrainian cities and Ukrainian infrastructure. That is pretty remarkable, and it is it is an Indian summer. They call it in Ukrainian language Babanalita, which means grandmother summer. I don't quite know why, but this happens every year. In fact, there was an Indian summer last year, and even when the Russians began to attack the infrastructure last year, it was October 10th. It was a warm day and a sunny day, and it was good weather during that first month of those attacks. What they were doing last year was trying to cripple the infrastructure before the winter weather set in. And indeed they did. I mean, so many people lived without hot water fairly often. There were rolling blackouts in every city of Ukraine throughout the entire winter. And people adapted. I mean, it's amazing. I remember like in sometime in the spring, Americans would come to visit Ukraine and they'd be in Lviv and say, oh, everything seems nice. And because Ukrainians are so resilient, I think even Ukrainians forgot that just a few weeks before in the wintertime, people were freezing, very cold, but had found ways to adapt. Students would do their work by candlelight. And everyone by now, everyone has generators. And as I travel the country, everyone is ready for these attacks, but they're not happening. So I don't know if it can really be attached to the weather. I mean, the last major Russian missile strike, for example, on Kyiv, where I am right now, was September 21st, the day before Ukraine had that absolutely decisive blow on the Russian Black Sea Fleet headquarters. And those days, I mean, it's so interesting what happened those days. The big Russian attack on the 21st, Washington, D.C. said no long range missiles, a.k.a. ATACMS, for Ukraine. On the 22nd, Ukraine attacks the Black Sea Fleet headquarters. Washington provides, a few hours later, these long-range missiles, which Ukraine has used to great effect. And because of, it's very strange that, like, why a year ago, when there were 80 to 100 Russian missiles every week on a given day, usually a Monday or Tuesday, how come there were no calls back then for negotiations? We didn't see that back then. And everyone just, sort of bucked up and said, let's support Ukraine. But now when Russians are not doing such attacks, we start to see these calls for that Ukraine should somehow negotiate. And, there is in the front lines, obviously, it's always intense. Right now, in the past 24 hours, the Russians have been storming this small town of Avdiivka, where there have been intense battles for some time. That all is continuing. And Ukrainians are saying, when it comes to the front lines, they need drone technology. They need these long range attack and missiles. But there has been a tactical shift from Russia, and Ukrainian cities far away from the front are not being hit. And, as I said, when I was in Kharkiv just a few days ago, that city is coming back to life. I've never seen it more lively than during this entire time of the full scale invasion. And it's so strange that, for example, if you look at the Republican presidential debate last night, Ukraine obviously came up in some pretty interesting ways. Vivek Ramaswamy was pushing hard against Ukraine. But you had Nikki Haley and Chris Christie, especially, were very strong about Ukraine. But neither of them, there's two things that they didn't mention. One, that Ukraine, is in a position of strength. The fact that there has been a lack of Russian major attacks. I keep saying this, but people are really missing this point. Something that happened ever since Ukraine got that Black Sea Fleet on the run. So that's something that's being missed in the American political discourse at a high level. There are some smart people writing op-eds about this. General Ben Hodges, top American general, retired, has been saying this, and others. But when it comes to people actually engaged in politics, they seem to be ignoring this success. And secondly, You know, Israel and Hamas were talked about, as was Russia and Ukraine. But there was not a lot of bringing these two things together. There was a sense that, oh, we have a war in the Middle East and a war in Europe. But I didn't hear, and I was up all night listening to that debate, I didn't hear any of these voices from the Republican candidates clearly saying what Ukrainians say, that obviously Russia and Iran and Hamas are allies, and we need to look at this more strategically rather than jumping around the world and responding to our enemies. Nikki Haley, former governor of South Carolina, former ambassador to the United Nations, she did say that if Joe Biden had done it, she said, meaning if Joe Biden had given Ukraine the weapons that they needed, this war would be over. And I think that a lot of people here would agree with that, and a lot of retired American generals would agree with that. And again, as 48 days without a major attack, this would be the time to get Ukraine everything it needs, and that's not happening.
As we mentioned yesterday, there are so many connections between what's going on in Ukraine and the Middle East. Iran, of course, behind much of Hamas strategy. The Russian group, the Wagner group, it's been reported, trained Hezbollah. So it's hard to separate those two. On another subject, I was fascinated with this New York Times story recently about Matthew Perry's death affecting people there in Ukraine. Apparently it really resonated with folks there because Friends was shown on broadcast television in Ukraine. It was very popular, especially with younger people. And I guess one of the reasons why it was translated into Ukrainian, not Russians, and they say it helped young Ukrainians learn how to speak the language. And also, they were able to watch each new episode almost at the same time as viewers in the United States. That's really something, isn't it?
Yeah, and indeed, there was an affinity with that show. You know, during the Soviet times, the Ukrainian language was often illegal. It was discouraged. And so Ukrainians, since their independence from the Soviet Union, have had to recover their language, and they have. And that show helped. But also, especially in the wartime, people need some comfort. You know, you need some break. It's something familiar. Mm-hmm. And even, for example, I've heard from so many Ukrainians who would play Friends on background. During missile or drone attacks on Kyiv, or while doing their work, and it was a comforting thing, and I think also a connection to this a life that they missed, where you could gather in the cafes in a sense of peace, but also a connection to America, for which there is great affection for America. And this, when you look at, for example, Vivek Ramaswamy said, Republican candidate positions himself as an outsider, standing up to the corruption and helping people wake up. Let's have more honest accounting, and allied with Joe Rogan and Tucker Carlson and Elon Musk. And he's capitalizing upon this wave of people who are sort of fed up with the system. And rightly so, people are fed up. But we got to be aware of, who are the real people and who are the charlatans. And you look at Ukrainians, what they did in 2014, when they began to recover their culture and their identity through that revolution. And this was pointed out today in a tweet by Dmytro Kuleba, Ukraine's Minister of Foreign Affairs. But this is echoed by so many people I know here. In that revolution in 2014, the people, the protesters, had full control, for example, over Kyiv, a city of 3 million people. The police were gone. The secret police fled, and the people controlled the city, and not a single store was looted. There was no violence. The people policed themselves. And this is getting obscured by Russian propaganda and by Americans who are happy puppets of the Russian propaganda. But it's also ignored, I think, by even I saw in that debate last night by Chris Christie and Nikki Haley. They understand that Ukraine should be defended, but they deeply miss they miss the deep democratic nature of the story of Ukrainians, which really could inspire, I think, Americans to wake up our own democracy. And so just as Ukrainians appreciate Friends, it would be a good thing if more Americans could really see at a deep level that Ukraine is not simply a nation that is a victim, but it's a nation that is deeply living democracy and willing to die for it. And I think that part of the story so often gets missed.
So much of what you tell us here every morning, Joseph, about the people of Ukraine is not only very impressive, but we just don't get that anywhere else. Certainly appreciate it. We'll talk tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Bob, thank you.